This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. I'm Kevin Allen. If you're tuning into Film Bookcast for the first time, welcome, and thank you. If you listened before, welcome back and thank you. Here's some of the stories I'll be talking about this week. Survivors of Harvey Weinstein's sexual misconduct and harassment have been awarded nearly $19 million. TV and movie legend Carl Reiner has passed away. Major movie chains push back the reopening dates following an increase in the number of new coronavirus cases in states all across the U.S., and Beavis and Butthead are back. Again. I'll also have a review of The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson and directed by Judd Apatow. This semi-autobiographical dramedy of Davidson's life is an okay movie. It's probably about 30 to 45 minutes too long, and I think it'll make you want to give Pete Davidson a hug more than it will make you laugh. You can find more Film Bookcast podcasts on film-book.com using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Victims of convicted rapist and former movie producer Harvey Weinstein have been awarded an $18.875 million settlement as part of a class action lawsuit. The payments, which will still need to be approved by bankruptcy and district courts, will resolve two separate lawsuits, one against Weinstein, Bob Weinstein, and the Weinstein Company, which was filed in February 2018 by the New York Attorney General, and a separate November 2017 class action lawsuit brought on behalf of the group of women who were sexually harassed and assaulted by the former movie mogul. The settlement comes as Weinstein is serving a 23-year sentence in a New York prison, 3 months after he was sentenced and found guilty by a jury for the sexual assault of Miriam Haley, a former Project Runway production assistant. He was also found guilty of rape in the third degree of former actress Jessica Mann. None of the plaintiffs included in the settlement were part of Weinstein's New York criminal trial, showing the far-reaching magnitude of Weinstein's abuse. Only 6 women were able to testify in the New York trial, but more than 100 women have accused Weinstein of sexual harassment, assault, and rape. Cineworld, the world's second largest movie theater chain and the owner of Regal in the U.S., has pushed back its grand U.K. and U.S. reopening dates to July 31st. Similarly, AMC has pushed back the reopening of 450 of its theaters to July 30th, with full operations now expected by August. The reopening delays come as the coronavirus rates in the United States continue to rise. That prompted the release date of Christopher Nolan's Tenet to be pushed back for the second time. That movie is now set for August 12th. Tenet's rescheduling caused a cascading effect of rescheduling. Disney's Mulan, which was scheduled for a launch in mid-July, is now being held until August 21st. Bill and Ted Face the Music has been pushed back to August 28th. California's governor has shut down bars and blocked indoor operations at certain businesses, including movie theaters, in hopes of slowing the spread of the coronavirus. The order is effective immediately, and Governor Gavin Newsom expects it to be in place for at least 3 weeks. The shutdown applies to 19 counties that have been on the state's monitoring list for at least 3 consecutive days. That includes Los Angeles. California's movie theaters, bowling alleys, and arcades were allowed to reopen less than 3 weeks ago. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting rebooted again. Deadline.com reports that Nickelodeon is teaming up with Point Grey Pictures' Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and James Weaver for this latest incarnation of the Heroes on a Half Shell. The latest feature film adventure will be CG animated. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles feature franchise has accumulated $1.15 billion across 6 movies from 3 studios since 1990. The last 2 movies, released by Paramount and Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes in 2014 and 2016, were live-action and together accounted for more than $730 million. Organizers of the Sundance Film Festival expect next year's edition to be a combination of a live event in Utah and other indie cinemas, as well as a virtual experience. According to The Hollywood Reporter, festival director Tabitha Jackson is pushing ahead with her event's 2021 edition, but is weighing physical and digital options for the festival amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The 2020 edition of Sundance took place last January in Park City as the Utah Mountain Resort welcomed festival goers from around the world. That was, of course, just as the global spread of the coronavirus began to make international headlines. Sundance organizers acknowledge they were fortunate to pull off this year's event and say they don't want to take public health risks next year. So while the prestigious film festival will continue to be based in Utah, Sundance will also align with at least 20 indie and community cinemas across North America. The festival is reportedly in early talks with cinemas in LA, New York, Austin, Louisville, Nashville, Atlanta, Detroit, and Mexico City. Quibi is streaming a star-studded Filmed at Home remake of The Princess Bride. On Monday, Quibi began streaming the film chapter by chapter, with the event expected to last for 2 weeks. There's more stars in the remake that I'll name here, but some of the heavy hitters include Tiffany Haddish, Neil Patrick Harris, Hugh Jackman, Keegan-Michael Key, and Patton Oswalt. If for some reason you're not familiar with the 1987 original film, it's a fairy tale adventure about a beautiful young woman and her one true love that's based on the William Goldman novel of the same name. Cary Elwes, Robin Wright, and Mandy Patinkin starred in the first go-round. The remake is directed by Jason Reitman, who came up with the idea of an at-home remake to help raise funds for the World Central Kitchen charity. Movie trailer time. Jennifer Hudson stars as Aretha Franklin in a new trailer for a biopic on the Queen of Soul. The movie's called Respect, and this movie looks to be a slam dunk based on Hudson's voice alone. The long-awaited movie follows Franklin's life from singing in her father's church to becoming one of the most legendary musicians of all time. Franklin, who died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 76, was part of the film's production up until her death in 2018. She received 18 Grammy Awards and was nominated a total of 44 times during her prolific career. The film was originally scheduled to release in August, but pushed back due to the coronavirus pandemic. It will now have a limited release in the US on Christmas Day, before a full release on January 15th. A new visual album from Beyoncé is on the way. It's called Black is King and will reportedly reimagine the lessons of the Lion King.
You can't wear a crown with your head down.
Nothing is complete on its own.
According to Beyoncé's Parkwood Entertainment, the movie is about the voyages of black families throughout time, and they will be honored in a tale about a young king's transcendent journey through betrayal, love, and self-identity. His ancestors will help guide him towards his destiny, and with his father's teachings and guidance from his childhood love, he earns the virtues needed to reclaim his home and throne. Black is King drops on Disney Plus on July 31st. Pixar's upcoming animated film Soul has a new trailer. The movie stars the voice of Jamie Foxx as Joe, who's a middle school band teacher.
Music is life. You just need to know where to look.
Joe dreams of being a jazz performer, but before he gets his big break, an accident causes his soul to be separated from his body. He's then transported to the Great Before, a fantastical place where new souls get their responsibilities, quirks, and interests before going to Earth. There, he teams up with a fellow soul named 22, who's voiced by Tina Fey. The pair works together to return Joel's soul back to his body on Earth before it's too late. Like so many movies, Soul's original June release date was delayed by the coronavirus pandemic, so it will now be released on November 20th. Legendary writer, actor, and director Carl Reiner has passed away. Before I briefly list his accomplishment, let me acknowledge that I could do an hour on Carl Reiner and not do his work justice. That being said, Reiner was born in the Bronx on March 20th, 1922 to Jewish immigrants of Austria and Romania. The 9-time Emmy-winning and Grammy-winning entertainment icon acted in over 40 films, held countless TV roles, including the role of TV variety show host Alan Brady on The Dick Van Dyke Show, directed 15 movies, and wrote more than 20 books, among them memoirs and children's stories. Reiner directed Steve Martin in a bunch of movies, including 1979's The Jerk. More recently, Reiner co-starred as con artist Saul Bloom in the 2001 blockbuster Ocean's 11, as well as its sequels. Carl Reiner was 98. Comedy Central is bringing back Beavis and Butthead. For those of you too young to remember, Beavis and Butthead are two dim-witted slackers who first appeared on MTV for 7 years in the 90s, plus a feature film in 1996. They came back for an 8th season in 2011. According to The Hollywood Reporter, original creator and star Mike Judge has a new deal for 2 seasons of Beavis and Butthead and plans additional spin-offs and specials. If the name Mike Judge sounds familiar, you may remember him as the guy behind such movies as Office Space and Idiocracy, as well as some more recent TV shows including King of the Hill and Silicon Valley. Comedian and prankster Sacha Baron Cohen has trolled a right-wing militia group in Washington State. Last weekend, Cohen was in costume and in character when he crashed the group's March for Our Rights 3 event. The demonstration was pro-gun and very strongly conservative. It's not clear if the appearance was yet another installment of Cohen's Who Is America show, the first season of which aired on Showtime. The militia group, called the Washington State 3%ers, denounced Cohen's actions on their Facebook page. An organizer for the event claimed that a large late donation from California was the incentive to allow the sing-along. According to Deadline.com, Cohen had his own security on hand to prevent the plug from being pulled and assure his safety once the attendees caught onto his act. Actress Alison Brie has apologized for voicing the character of Diane Nigen, a Vietnamese-American writer on Netflix's BoJack Horseman, which ended its run earlier this year. Brie, who's white, is probably best known for her work on TV shows Community and Mad Men. In a statement, Brie said, quote, "We missed a great opportunity to represent the Vietnamese-American community accurately and respectfully." Brie's apology follows a number of white actors announcing that they are stepping down from voicing their animated characters of color, including Family Guy's Mike Henry, Central Park's Kristen Bell, and Big Mouth's Jenny Slate. Additionally, The Simpsons says it will no longer have white actors voice non-white characters. Hank Azaria has been the voice of black character Carl Carlson. He was also known for voicing a Pooh, a character which has long been criticized for its stereotypical depiction of an Indian immigrant. Back in January, Azaria announced that he would no longer play that character. Harry Shearer had voiced the black character of Dr. Julius Hibbert. Alright, let's take a look at some TV trailers. Wynonna Earp is officially returning to sci-fi later this month. The network has dropped a new trailer and announced that the long-awaited season 4 of the supernatural drama will premiere on July 26th.
Demons running amok, mystical portals to another worldly realm.
It's just so good to be home.
But since production on the 12-episode season 4 isn't complete yet due to a filming hiatus caused by the coronavirus pandemic, sci-fi will only air the first 6 episodes of the season, which will culminate in a mid-season finale on August 30th. There's no word yet on when the second half of the season will air. Production on those final 6 episodes of the season is expected to resume later this summer in Calgary. If you're not familiar with the show, Wynonna Earp protects her town of Purgatory from demons. She's tasked with taking out revenants, the resurrected souls of the criminals who were taken down one at a time by her great-grandfather, Wyatt Earp. A TV miniseries based on a real-life missing person case is coming to Netflix.
Can you confirm that an Australian citizen has been illegally detained in Barton?
Stateless, starring Yvonne Strahovski, is about 4 strangers whose lives collide at an immigration detention center in the middle of the Australian desert. It's all based on the story of Cornelia Rao, a German citizen and Australian permanent resident who was unlawfully detained for a period of 10 months as part of the Australian government's mandatory detention program. Stateless lands on Netflix on July 8th. There's a new animated TV show coming to Netflix based on the popular and very challenging video game Cuphead.
Cuphead is a lovable scamp, and he also happens to have a cup for a head.
A new teaser showcases character concept art for Cuphead, who's played by True Valentino, and his brother Mugman, who's voiced by Frank Todaro. Similar to its video game counterpart, the Cuphead show will follow the unique misadventures of the world's colorful characters through 1930s-style animation. However, it will not be a retelling of the game. No official release date for Cuphead has been set. This week's movie review spotlight is on The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson and directed by Judd Apatow. Fans of Apatow's movies should know that the comedy in this film is more subtle than in some of his other works, and I think how much anyone likes this film hinges on how much they liked Pete Davidson before this movie, or how much they come to like him by the end. Davidson, who co-wrote and produced the film, stars as Scott. Scott is a 24-year-old man-child who lives with his mother on Staten Island and has no real plans for his future. The character uses drugs, anger, and self-pity to show that he's never gotten over the death of his firefighter father some 17 years before the events of the movie. Scott might also be a decent tattoo artist if he stopped getting high long enough to really work at it. But after he inks a little boy's arm at the beach, the kid's enraged fireman dad comes knocking and ends up dating Scott's mother. Scott then spends a big chunk of the rest of the movie trying to sabotage their happiness. Appearance-wise, I think Davidson is perfectly cast as someone who has sort of a scummy sincerity to him. And there's a nice parallel of having an emotionally numb protagonist like Scott play for smaller laughs than what you'd see in other Apatow films like 40-Year-Old Virgin. But personally, I didn't really find myself ever rooting for Scott. That being said, the supporting cast really helps this film stand up through its more than 2-hour running time. Comedian Bill Burr plays Ray, the new boyfriend of Scott's mom, who's played by Marissa Tomei. Burr is great because he basically plays it straight the whole time, and I probably don't need to explain why Marissa Tomei does frustrated woman who's tired of dealing with a loved one's bullshit well. If you don't know what I'm talking about, IMDb Tomei and watch basically any of her other movies. The young women in this film are good as well. Maude Apatow, Judd's daughter, is strong as Scott's sister, who's frustrated with him but also determined to shake Scott out of his cycle of self-loathing. Actress Belle Powley, who plays Scott's on-and-off-and-on-and-off girlfriend Kelsey, looks to be a breakout star in this film. She anchors every scene she's in and brings a real authenticity to the character. Steve Buscemi is predictably strong as one of Ray's fellow firefighters. By design, The King of Staten Island is a messy movie. Most of the relationships and situations in the film are messy. To be sure, one of the themes of this movie is that life can be messy, and it's a choice that one has to steer into if you decide to make a semi-autobiographical film about someone whose dad died on 9/11 and who struggled with addiction and mental health issues. Speaking of, I feel like this movie almost gets off to a false start because of the nature of the opening scene, which I won't spoil here. Let me just say that the opening moment suggests that this movie will deal a lot with depression and trauma, but after the first scene, the movie is mostly a slacker dramedy. And while you can tell there's real pain that Davidson is tapping into for his performance, I think the film stumbles when it tries to make Pete, and thus Scott, more likable. I don't know Davidson personally, but based on his public persona, he doesn't seem to care too much about how much people like him. Or maybe he cares really too much and tries to push them away. Anyway, I definitely didn't like Scott or Davidson more by the end of the film, but I guess I do understand them more. And that's not nothing. In conclusion, I think The King of Staten Island is too long. But it's okay. I think anyone's opinion of this film rests squarely on the opinion of Davidson. If you like Pete, you like this film. If you're mad on him, you'll be mad on this movie. Only you can figure out where you stand. Thank you for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Kevin Allen or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter at KAllenNYC. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Filmbook Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. It helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, use the hashtag FilmbookCast. Tune in next week for a new episode of FilmbookCast. Thanks for listening. I'm Kevin Allen. And remember, Black Lives Matter.